Now we're holding on Memphis, I'm at Aleph, the third line. Still talking about dinim involving trephis of the lungs. we had digressed in the middle to mention a couple of other incidental things that were in a braisa. One of them was that if the shalpuchis was removed, then it's kosher. And we learned yesterday shalpuchis means the womb. Tosfos points out now the word shalpuchis basically means some kind of hollow organ. It can also mean the urinary bladder. That Tosfos says that in fact if it had a hole or if it was removed, then the animal would be trefa. We didn't mention it, but Tosfos says maybe it's included in nikbu adakin if the intestines have a hole, because it's part of the digestive system. After all, with that said, I think there are Rishonim who learn that maybe it would be kosher because we have a concept called ein lahoisik al treifas. We can't add on our own to what's treifa and what's not. And after all, it doesn't mention anywhere in the Mishnah or the Braisa. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the lung now. So the Gemara says, Omer of Yosef Aman Yumi, Omer of Nachman, Reya Hasmuchel Doifen, if the lung is very close to the chest wall, the lungs, of course, are going to be close to the chest wall because they're within the chest, but normally there should be a certain amount of space between them. The lung has to be able to expand and contract as the animal breathes, after all, so there has to be a certain space over there. But Rashi actually translates Smucha as Dvuka, but slower, so it's stuck to the ribs. Now that would be a real problem because then the animal can't breathe. Nevertheless, says Rav Yosef, in Choshen Law, we don't have to be concerned that it might be that there was a hole in the lung and that's what's causing it to be stuck to the chest wall. So, on the other hand, helset smachim, on the other hand, if it developed smachim, which are a type of blisters, then we do have to be concerned there may have been a hole in the lung, and therefore now that's why now it's stuck to the chest wall. The Rishonim have a great deal of discussion about all the details over here. Are we talking about where the actual lung itself is stuck to the chest wall? Are we talking about where there's a sucha, as we talked about previously, one of those fibrous growths that comes out of the lung and then attaches to some nearby organ? So there's a variety of different explanations and a lot of different points among the Rishonim about what the dinim are in these kinds of cases. These are among the bigger issues in Hilchos Treifas, with many different Rishonim on different sides of the question of when there would be a problem and when there would not. Smachim over here was saying are blisters. Now we learned blisters previously. We learned about blisters, boars previously. If you don't mind, I'm going to ask. I think there's some background noise over there. If you need to ask something, then go ahead and unmute. So before we learned about boars, which we also translated as blisters. Here we're mentioning smachim. So the poskim talk about various possibilities. Maybe boars are full of fluid, and then smachim would be where they're full of pus or something like that. And further on, we're going to talk about hard smachim, which are more like hard warts or tubercules or something like that. And they talk about what exactly might these blisters contain that might be an issue or not. They talk about also, is there a difference between whether they stick up above the surface of the lung or whether they're flush with it? And there's a number of different points. So Rav Nachman over here is saying that in and of itself, he says, the fact that the lung is attached to the chest wall directly or through a sucha is not necessarily a problem, but if there are smachim, if there are these blisters or abscesses, maybe would be a better translation, around it, then we have to be concerned because then there may well be a hole in the lung, which then caused it now to get stuck to the chest wall. Mar Yehuda, Mishmei Davini. On the other hand, Mar Yehuda says in the name of Avimi, no, Echad Zeb, Choshen Law. Either way, we have to be concerned that it might be because of a hole. That it might be because of a hole in the lung. So, Okay. So the Gemara says, hey, Fiabdina, so how do we do after all? I mean, there is the question whether it's because of a hole in the lung. The other possibility is it might be there was an injury to the chest wall itself, and therefore the nearby thing, the lung being very close to the chest wall, maybe got stuck to it as that wound on the chest wall is healing. And then that wouldn't be a problem necessarily. So how do we tell the difference? And again, there's more discussion on this subject when we talk about if it's stuck to the chest wall, is there maybe a sex fake over here about maybe in fact it's because of a hole in the lung, maybe it's because of something in the wall, and even if it's in the lung, maybe to begin with it was even if it was stuck to the chest wall, and that would be considered to cover it. So anyway, Hechi Abdinin, what do we do in order to check it out? Omar Rava, Ravin Bar Shaba Azbradi. So Rava says that Ravin Bar Shaba, explain to me what we need to do over here. My sin is Sakina de Cholosh Pule. We bring a knife with a very dull. We bring a knife with a very sharp, thin tip. So in other words, the point is you want it to be able to cut very cleanly, but you want it to be able to you don't want it to damage the actual lung tissues themselves as you're cutting it. So you need a knife like that. We carefully separate the lung from the place where they were stuck together. So again, are we talking about when there are tzmachim, when there are these abscesses? Are we talking about when there's not? You have different opinions on the subject. Tosfos says if there are tzmachim, then no matter what, even if we find a wound on the wall, it's not going to help us because what are they doing tzmachim in that case? What are they doing these abscesses or whatever you want to translate them as on the lung? Then it would be a problem. On the other hand, the Rashba and the Ran say that it would be subject to this machlokas of Reb Nachman and Avimi, if there are no tzmachim, then we're not concerned that the lung has a hole, and only if there are tzmachim are we concerned, so then that would impinge on this machlokas as well, according to them. Anyway, so we take the lung apart from the nearby wall, and we check what it's like. If we find there's something wrong in the chest wall, we find that there was some kind of injury over there, which is scabbed over or whatever, then we can attribute it to it was because of the chest wall, and therefore, so now we can say the animal is kosher. The fact that there's an injury over there, I mean, that's what caused the lung to get stuck to it. Again, with or without smachim, depending on the different opinions among the Rishonim. So one way of looking at it basically is because at this point you have a sex faker kind of. Okay, the Eloi, and if not, Machmas Reyahu, if not, then it means because it was some kind of problem with the lung to begin with, that the lung itself, the lung itself now has some kind of problem that caused it to get stuck to the chest wall, or Trefa, and therefore the animal is Trefa. The Afagabda, like a Mapka Zika, and it wouldn't even matter whether air comes out of the lung at this point, whether we inflate the lung and any air leaks out. Because as we've learned before, just because even if a scab or scar grows over the hole, it's not going to change anything. The fact is, there was a hole, and therefore it's trefa. So the Rashba points out that Rashi does not seem to have these last words in the Gemara about that if air doesn't come out. So it sounds like, in other words, the point of Rashi, maybe if you do check it and you find that no air comes out, then maybe it would be fine. So the Gemara says, Reb Nechemya, Reb Yosef, Bodik Lo B'Pshuri. Reb Nechemya, the son of Reb Yosef, would check out a situation like that involving the lung with lukewarm water. So Rashi explains that it means that this is a chumrah. Here we're saying that when there was a makah b'dofen, when there was an injury on the wall, nevertheless, Nechemya b'yedid Rav Yosef would not just rely on that and say, oh, well, that's why the lung is stuck to it. We don't need anything further. So instead, he would still inflate the lung. He would still put the lung in lukewarm water and inflate it and see whether there was any hole over there. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos says that in general, all these kinds of things, we don't even do a test on them anymore. We say that we don't have the expertise to check, and therefore we declare them treifa regardless. So anyway, the Rashba asks on Rashi. And then, because the Gemara goes on to say now that Rabbi Nechemya did this check in a different way, so in fact, the Rashba and the Ran talk about that. No, this is actually a kula. That he's saying that when in a case where we might have to be concerned that it was a problem with the lungs, nevertheless, Rabbi Nechemya Ben Rabbi Yosef held that you could still test it by inflating the lung, and if it inflates and no air comes out, then we can declare it kosher, and we don't. In fact, have to worry that there was a hole in the lung that maybe scabbed over or something. So that I think that's actually the case where that's actually the case where we say that a reason might be because of spek sveta, because was there even a hole in the lung to begin with, and even if it was, then it might be the kind of thing where to begin with it was caused by the adhesion to the chest wall or something like that. Okay, well, the Gemara continues. Amalei Mazutra, Breder of Huna, Breder of Papi, Ravina. However, Mazutra, the son of Rav Huna, the son of Rav Papi, says to Ravina, Hodrim Nechemi, Breder of Yosef, Atunaho Masnisula. Now you, Chachamim, he says to Ravina, are learning that Rav Nechemi, Breder of Yosef's test with the warm water and the inflating it was in that case, where the lung is stuck to the chest wall. Anan ad Rav Masninallah. However, says Mar Zutra, we learn the same statement of Rav Nechemya in connection with something that Rava said. Amar Rava, where Rava had said, we learned earlier about the lobes of the lung. Hani tauti uni dereya de sricha mahadadi. When you have two lobes of the lung that have a sircha between them, and we said we were talking about specifically shaloi kesidron, if it was skipping over one lobe, so that as we learned before, there's a concern that the sirchus may have been caused by holes in the lungs according to Rashi, and they weren't covered up to begin with, or according to Tosfos, the other way around, that now the sircha may cause part of the lung to tear away. So Rava had said less lahu b'dikus al-achshuri, that there's no way of testing it to see whether it's kosher, because as we said, even if you don't find any holes in the lungs, nevertheless, it could have scabbed over, and it would nevertheless be treifa. However, we learn, says Mazutra, Rabbi Nechemya Breider of Yosef, Bodik Lava Pshuri, that Rabbi Nechemya Breider of Yosef would test it in warm water and see if no air comes out, then he would hold that it's kosher. So according to this, so that this is where the Rashba and the Ran point out that we see from that Rabbi Nechemya is being makel and saying that a case where otherwise we would have said a strefa can really be kosher if we do this kind of thing, and therefore they understand differently than Rashi that the same thing when it was stuck to the chest. However, the Gemara says, Maskefla Ravashi. But Ravashi says, Ravashi challenges that. Hai mai, what kind of a comparison is that? Bishlema hocha talinim bedoifen. I can understand over here where it's stuck to the wall. After all, we have the concern may have not been in the lung itself in the first place. It may have been in the chest wall. Okshera, and therefore that would be a reason to declare it kosher. Because at least we have something else to attribute it to. Aval Hossam, but over there you're talking about a sircha between two different lobes of the lung. Ihai nokiv treifa, vihai nokiv treifa. If whichever one has a hole in it, then the animal is going to be treifa. Obviously the fact that you have a sircha over here indicates either according to Rashi that there was a hole there in the first place, or according to Tosfos that there will be a hole over there. So what's the difference? What's the difference then? Whether you're telling me that Rabbi Nechemya Breder Yosef would inflate it in lukewarm water. Why? One way or the other, there was obviously a hole over there, whereas here, when it's stuck to the chest wall, then we can well say that there was no problem in the lung itself. The only reason why the lung got stuck over there is because as the injury to the wall was healing. Okay. So in other words, therefore, Ravashi is saying that no, it can't be that Rabbi Nechemya Breder of Yosef would test it in lukewarm water in a case like that. And in fact, the halacha is when you have a sircha between two non-adjacent lobes, then in fact you can't test it with warm water or inflating or anything like that, because then we have to be concerned there really was a hole and it scabbed over. And that just won't work. So the Gemara continues. We started saying before though that Rav Nachman had said that if the lung is stuck to the chest wall, then Rav Nachman had said that if there's blisters, if there's these abscesses or whatever, smachim, then we have to be concerned. But if not, then not. The question is, when we omer Rav Nachman hachi, did Rav Nachman really say that? Va omer Rav Yosef aman yomi omer Rav Nachman reyach nikla, if the lung has a hole, the dofen seitanta, and you have the chest wall itself closes up the hole. So then Rav Nachman says shera. So it's kosher. So we see in other words that the chest wall is able to plug up a hole in the lung. So yet we're saying before that if there are smachim, then we have to be concerned that there's a hole in the lung. But why shouldn't the chest wall be able to plug it? The answer is like kosher. The difference is when Rav Nachman is saying that it's fine if the chest wall itself closes it up, that would be in the place where the lung and the chest wall are naturally close together, namely as the chest narrows. So you have, as we talked about yesterday, you have the wider part of the chest where you have the umos, the main bodies of the lungs are located. Then you have it narrows as you go towards the neck, and that's where the individual lobes of the lung branch off over there. So in that area, the lung is actually quite close to the chest wall to begin with. So now if you have a hole in the lung over there and the chest wall closes it, then it's fine because it grew that way to begin with. And we talked about the other day, when you have something that grows that way naturally and grows that way to begin with, then it is considered a good plug for the hole. Whereas over here we're talking about where it doesn't naturally grow together like that, namely in the area of the umos. So that's what Gemara says. V'heicha makam revisa. What is considered makam revisa? Chituchi de'uni is the area where the umos branch out. So there it's narrower. So Rashi points out the halacha is indeed like Rav Nachman. That where you have over there, where it's stuck to the wall in that area, then indeed it's fine, and we don't have to worry about that there may have been a hole because the chest wall naturally protects it because they do naturally grow close together over there. Of course, can we talk about some details within that? How far forward and how far back would this be valid? Are there maybe areas really close to the top where that kind of thing wouldn't be valid because it's too narrow over there? They mention in this connection a blood vessel that runs along the front of the chest, where that can be used as a marker to indicate where this kind of thing would be kosher and would be not, and also how high up the sides of the animal does all this go. And there's a considerable amount of discussion about details among that. So the Gemara says Gufa, getting back to what we said before, Amr of Yosef Aman Yumi Amr of Nachman, Reyesh and Nikva, that the lung has a hole, the Dauphin Sekanta, and there's a hole, but then the chest wall closes it up, so we say the animal's kosher. Amr Ravina, however, Ravina says, well, just Sabach Bevisra, that's only though if it's attached to the flesh, to the muscle, the intercostal muscles, the muscles between the ribs, and not when it's stuck to the ribs themselves. Now there is quite a bit of discussion among the poskim when we use the word over here sovich, that it's attached to. Do we mean again attached using a sircha, or do we mean that sovich is actually something even more than a sircha, that it has to really be stuck very strongly onto it? Tosfos discusses it over here, and different other Rishonim talk about what exactly do we mean by sovich over here. Do we mean it's basically a synonym for sorich, where there's a silcha, or do we mean that it needs to be something more than that? But not if it's stuck to the ribs. Okay. Um, So the Gemara continues. Amalei Rav Yosef l'Ravina. So Rav Yosef says to Ravina. Now Tosfos points out in this connection, Ravina, regular Ravina that we have in Shas, there are actually two Ravinas. Ravina who was a colleague of Rav Ashi, and Ravina who was a Talmud of theirs. Rav Yosef is a couple of generations earlier, so it's a little hard to see how Rav Yosef could be talking to Ravina. So Tosfos says it must be a different one. And in fact, Tosfos says what he's saying is disagreeing with what Rav Nachman had said before. And Tosfos says the halacha would actually be like Rav Nachman. Tosfos does not hold the halacha would be like Ravina. So the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch understand that Ravina and Rav Nachman are not arguing. Ravina is just complimenting what Rav Nachman says. But according to Tosfos, they're actually arguing, and usually the halacha would be like Ravina, being one of the last Samaroyim. However, over here, Tosfos says apparently not, precisely because this is not necessarily the same Ravina as usual. This is an earlier one. So Rabbi Yosef says to Ravina, "V'ilos sovich mai." And so, what are you telling me that if it's not attached like that to the muscles, treifa, you're going to say the animal is treifa? Alma min dekuri, meaning that you're saying that in that case the lung is considered to have a hole. And of course, then it would be a problem. So what's the difference? Even if sovich, even if it's attached to the law, to the wall, it could still be treifa. The hot tanya, as we learned in a brayse, and nikav, to give an example, here we've been talking about here and there in this peret, that when you have something that has a hole, and then a scab forms over it, or a covering forms over it, we say nevertheless it's still treifa, and we have an example of that in the halachas of stuadako krus shofcha. We know the Torah tells us somebody who has an injury in his genitals of certain kinds is also to marry a regular born Jewish woman. He can marry a giyoris or a mamzeres or what have you. Anyway, so we have an example. It talks about in Yevamos, where it talks about these dinim, nikav, if a man's organ has a hole in it, posel, then that makes him posel love. Call, it makes him considered a krus shofcha. If nature shows this, because then when he ejaculates, instead of it coming out forcefully, it's going to dribble out of the hole, and therefore he's not going to be able to have he's not going to be able to father children that way. The expression the Gemara has in a number of places, it has to spurt out forcefully in order to be able to do that. So the braisa continues, nistam, now if that hole gets closed up, kosher, then the person is kosher again, because now he'll be able to father children after all, because now the zera will shoot out forcefully again. And the braisa finishes off, this is a psul, which goes back to being kosher. So when we say vizehu, when we say a nis, Lama'uti ma'i, so Rabbi Yosef says, wouldn't that mean, as opposed to what? The braisa is clearly saying there's a case where something can be plugged up and it goes back to being kosher, but another case than not. What would it be excluding? Lama'uti ki'hai davna. Wouldn't it be coming to exclude a case like this, where the lung has a hole, and then after that you have it got stuck to the chest wall, and we're saying that no, it doesn't become kosher again. Where you, Ravina, are saying that if afterwards, if sovich b'bisra, if it gets stuck to the muscles, then it's fine. But this braisa seems, the implication of this braisa seems to contradict that. So he answers loy, so Ravina answers no, lamorti krum shalom achmas maka mereya. We mean a regular case where the lung has a hole and now a membrane or a scab grew over that. In a krum, and as we've learned a few times already, that's not considered a valid plug because it's going to fall. So in other words, by krus shofcha, it's true. All you care about is he able at this point to father children, and he will be able to, so therefore he's kosher. As opposed to over here, we're talking about that once the lung has a hole in it, then scabbing it over does not help because there was a period when it was treifa, and also because that plug may not be so solid and it may fall off again. So therefore, there is good reason to say that that's what the braisa is coming to exclude that case, but not Ravina's case, where after all it is close to begin with, it's close to the chest wall, and now it's sovich, now it's attached there, whether by a sucher or by whatever, as we talked about before, so therefore it's not going to come apart so easily, and therefore it'll heal. However. Master of Ukva Bahama. However, Ukva Bahama says, you're telling me that all this time you're telling me that if the chest wall closes up And if the chest wall closes up the hole, then you're fine. But after all, ila inkib the dofen la domai, and what happens if afterwards you have a hole in the chest wall right opposite that hole in the lung? So in other words, what are you telling me? There's potentially a hole in the lung, but it's closed up by the chest wall and therefore no air leaks out. So if you now have, conceivably, if there were a hole cut in the chest wall, then it would be back to a problem. Presumably it would be terefa listening to Korvus HaDofen. In that case, the Mishnah should describe yet another possible terefa is where there's a hole in the chest wall. Meaning you would say normally a hole in the chest wall is not going to make a terefa because so what? You still have the lung itself is still intact. But you're telling me there's a case where the lung can have a hole and it's still kosher because it's closed up by the chest wall. In that case, then what would make it terefa if there's a hole in the chest wall? So then in that case, then we ought to list that. So the Gemara says, "Belitai Meir." Well, according to your svara of Ukva, that you're even asking the question, then consider Hoda Amar of Yitzchak by Yosef, Amar of Yechon, Morashen Nikva. We learned before a few blocks ago that if the gallbladder has a hole, the covered setanta, but the liver to which the gallbladder is attached closes, plugs up the hole, kshera, then the animal is kosher. Same thing. You could argue ilu inkiv covered la domai, that if the liver in turn were to have a hole opposite that hole, then what tereifa? You would presumably say the animal is tereifa. You could say the same thing listening to Korvus HaKoved, then the Mishnah should have listed a case where there's a hole in the liver, and obviously you're not asking that question. Ela ki nikva delav mi nei mitarfa. No, what it means is you have to say when you talk about a hole in an organ, where in and of itself that hole is not what causes the terefa. Directly, it's not because of that exclusively, it's because of another factor involved, then they're loikotani, the Mishnah is obviously not listing such things. Hochanami, the same thing over here, with the lung on the chest wall, given the labni name, itarifa loikotani, since after all, it's not from it that the problem originates in the first place. The problem was never in the chest wall, the problem was in the lung, which now, and the problem was in the lung, which now, as a result of, you're arguing that the chest wall protected it, and now though and now that protection has gone away. It's gonna be terefa. You're saying why didn't the Mishnah list that? Because the Mishnah is not listing those kinds of things where the protective thing goes away. The Mishnah is focusing on the organ itself that was punctured or whatever. So that's no contradiction to this idea of being able to say that the chest wall will be able to protect the lung. By the way, as far as this whole matter of suchus, I forgot to mention previously that in Shulchan Aruch it talks about now, first of all, as we looked before, sometimes you can have suchus that are not even stuck to anything, they're just hanging loose. Those posts can say basically there's really no problem with those. But when you have a sucha attached to something, and you have quite a lot of cases in Shulchan Aruch where it talks about where a sucha might be attached to. Again, it might be from one part of the lung to another. We talked about that. You can have from the lung to the chest wall. You have from the lung to various other internal organs in the chest cavity, to the heart, or rather to the pericardium, which surrounds the heart, or to the diaphragm, or whatever, different things like that. The posts can talk about a lot about the details, the ins and outs of those. Now, there's a concept that the Rishonim talk called a miuch u'mishmush, which is to say, sometimes you can have a silcha, you can have one of these fibrous threads or something, where you squeeze it and you run it between your fingers or whatever, and it breaks off. So the post can have quite a bit of time discussing is that considered a true silcha or not. So the Beis Yosef takes a very strong line on it and says there's no such thing. No matter what you do in order to break apart the sircha, nevertheless, it's still the sircha is a sircha, and where it's going to be the situations where it makes the animal treif, then it's going to be treif. On the other hand, then Amar talks about there can be cases where it's possible to remove the sircha in that way, and then the post can talk about it wouldn't be considered a true sircha, it would be called rir ba'alma. It's basically just like in that case, some kind of exudation or something, some kind of liquid, you know, some kind of semi-solid stuff that's hardened, and it wouldn't be considered a true sircha, whether according to Rashi that sirchas are caused by holes, or whether like Tosfos that sirchas are going to cause holes. So the posts can discuss the ins and outs, when exactly we can do that kind of thing. In particular, one thing they mention is with small animals, like with a veal, for example, you can't do that because circus by those are always going to be small and weak. And if you do miyuch mishmur, then there would never be a case by them when circus would ever be a problem. And obviously that's not going to be so. But all of this leads to the distinction we have between glatt and non-glatt meat. Glatt means smooth. So glatt, with strictly speaking, the meaning of glatt is where the lungs are smooth and there's no serous. Within that itself, you have glatt-based Yosef and regular glatt. Those are based on different considerations of what the deal is. As far as serous, basically glatt-based Yosef, where there's no serous at all, and glatt and regular glatt, where there are serous, but the kind that wouldn't cause a problem. And then you have, when you have serous that can be removed by miuch or mishmush, then that's plain non-glatt meat. It used to be much more common to be able to find that nowadays, because the kosher consumer is more discriminating, or at least we hope so, then people don't want to settle for second best. So pretty much all kosher meat sold nowadays is glatt. Whether in fact it meets those standards is another matter, but in principle the idea is that any time we talk about meat as being glatt, then it means like that. It means that we're means that there were no sirchus on the lungs that had to be removed by miuch or mishmush, but rather that the animal had no serchus, or had the kind, or had the kind that definitely are not a problem according to any poskim. I've read, by the way, that to some extent the prevalence of serchus and whether you're more likely to find glatt meat depends on where the animal is raised. Apparently, there are some countries, maybe because of air pollution, maybe because of other things, there are some countries where serchus are much less common than others. Getting back to the Gemara. The Gemara continues. We were talking before about smochim. We were talking before about smochim, about abscesses or whatever on the lungs. So let's talk more about that. So again, to summarize the previous discussion then, so you have cases where the chest wall can be considered to close up a hole in the lungs. And again, you have this question of smochim or not that we were discussing before, and the different understandings of the Rishonim, how exactly it comes out from the sugya. When we say that with smochim there's a problem, when not, when can we actually check the lung by carefully pulling it apart from the chest wall, like we said, with a very sharp knife, and seeing whether there's a hole there or not, and when can we not? So there's quite a lot of different opinions among the poskim on these various subjects. The Rambam, for example, mentions an interesting thing in that connection. He mentions that the only place that I know of where the Rambam mentions machlokas between him and his father, Reb Maimon, where he says you have a case where the lung is partially stuck to the muscles between the ribs and partly to the ribs themselves. So he says, my father is one of those who holds that it's also in that kind of case, whereas the Rambam says, I myself hold that such a case would be mutter. As I said, there are a lot of different opinions of Rishonim on both sides of each of these issues. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Tell us that smochin mahu. So what happens if the lung develops smochin, which again are abscesses or something full of pus? So before we talk about buois, where the posts can talk about that buois that we learned previously, are where they contain air, or where they contain clear liquid, or sometimes it can be like a turbid liquid, but here we're talking about where they actually contain pus or something like that. Before we were talking about when it's close to the chest wall and there's concern that there may be a hole in the lung around there. Here we're talking about where there's just smocking by themselves, without it being near the chest wall, and without that kind of concern. So here, in other words, there's just these abscesses that Tosfos points out. Now there's much less of a concern that there's an actual hole over there. Amalek Shera, so Shmuel tells him it's kosher. Amalek, so Rambam Bachana says Afani Oymaken. You know, I would say the same thing. Elashat Talmidim is Danzin Badover, but the Talmidim are doubtful about that matter. The other Talmidim. Because they're basing themselves on what Reb Masna says, Malya Mugla Trefa, that if such abscesses or blisters or whatever you want to call them on the lung are full of pus, then the animal would be Trefa. Maim Zakim, but if they're full of clear water, clear liquid, Kshera, then the animal would be kosher. So you're telling me that if they're full of pus, it's kosher, but Ramasna is saying that if it's full of pus, it's safer. That din was not stated regarding the lungs. That was stated regarding the kidneys, which we're going to learn about the kidneys in more detail later in the perek. So there's a difference between clear fluid and pus. But by the lung, it doesn't matter. Even if there are abscesses full of pus, then nevertheless the animal can be kosher. So the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef have a ka'ozol basred. Rabbi Yirmiyah b'shuka de tabchi. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef one time was following Rabbi Yirmiyah, and they were walking through the marketplace of the butchers. Chazanu lahanach to kaimen simchi simchi. They saw lungs that were hung up there for sale that were full of abscesses like that. So Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef wanted to see if Rabbi Yirmiyah would hold that such things are kosher or not. Omalei, so he asks him in an indirect way, Loi boi mar umsa, Rebbe, do you want to buy some raw meat and see whether he's going to go and buy from these animals? Omalei, so Rabbi Yirmiyah kind of evaded the question. Let's be pretty, right now I don't have any money. Omalei, so Rabbi Yitzchak says, Akfananah, fine then, I'll lay it out for you. I'll lay it out for you. Actually, not even, Rashi says, not even lay it out. The storekeepers, trust me, I can buy on credit, and they'll take payment from me later. So in other words, he realizes that Rabbi Yirmiyah is trying to evade the question, so he's saying, then fine, instead of allowing you to evade the question, I'm going to put you on the spot over here. Omalei, so Rabbi Yirmiyah realizes he has no choice. So he says, Ma Eved Lach, what do you want me to do for you? When people would come with shilas like that to Rabbi Yechanan, Meshadu lahu l'chamed Rabbi Yehuda b'rei de Rabbi Shimon, he would send them to Rabbi Yehuda b'rei de Rabbi Shimon to the Moriba, where he would paskin, the Moriba, Meshmed Rabbi Lazar b'rei de Rabbi Shimon, Lahatera, where he would say, he would teach the halacha in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, that such cases are kosher, but Rabbi Yochanan did not hold of that heter. So fine, I'm not going to tell people outright that it's also because I didn't learn from my rabbeim that it's shefer. So I'll send. So fine, Rabbi Yehuda, Reb Shimon has a maserda from Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. That's fine. So therefore, so you want to rely on him? Go ahead and rely on him. Rabbi Yochanan is saying I'm not going to rely on that kind of heter. So the same way Rabbi Yirmiyah says, I don't want to outright tell you that it's also, because after all, we do have Rabbi Yehuda b'rei de Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar b'rei Shimon saying that's mutter. On the other hand, I don't want to tell you flat out that's mutter because Rabbi Yochanan himself disagrees. So that's why I was trying to evade it by saying I don't have any money. Okay. The Gemara says similarly, Omar Ravak, you have a Masgin and Basred Rab Nachman Bashuka, similarly, Bashuka de Gildoi, similarly, Rava says, when we were walking as Tamidim behind Rab Nachman in the marketplace of the leather workers, the Amila Bashuka de Rabbanon, others say in the marketplace of the Rabbanon would be a place, maybe a place where they had many small shawls and Batei Medrash of the Chachamim, maybe it was a place where the Chachamim would sell their wares. We find in other places in Shas that when Tamid Chachamim, especially those who study as much as possible full time, when they have something to sell, then the people in charge are obligated to allow them to sell their stuff first so that then they can get back to their learning. So Shukha de Rabbanan may have been a place, particularly where the Chachamim have their little shops and things, so that way, it's known they're going to be open at certain hours and they'll sell whatever they need for their parnosa that day, and then they're going to close up. Whatever the case, so Rava says, I was walking behind Rav Nachman in the marketplace of the leather workers or the marketplace of the Rabbanan. Chazi hanach tekaimen kandi, and he says, we saw over there, Rav Nachman saw over there, there were lungs that had on them very large abscesses, even the size, either the size of skin bottles. Rashi says the gears that we have in front of us is kvedim berea, very heavy on the lungs. A different gears on the side over here is kenoidim berea. They look like skin bottles because of their size, and they were on the lungs. Now Rav Nachman didn't say anything to the people who are selling them. He didn't say you're selling today for meat. Evidently Rav Nachman holds that kind of thing is kosher. The fact that there are these smocking, even of that size, does not make the animal treifa. So even though, as we just said, Rav Yochanan had held it might be treifa, nevertheless we see Rav Nachman wasn't concerned about that. Similarly, Rav Ami and Rav Asi have a chalfi b'shuka de Tveria. Rav Ami and Rav Asi were one time walking through the marketplace of Tveria, chazi hanach tekaini tinri, and they saw lungs that were being offered for sale that had lots of hard, that had lots of hard abscesses on there. So here, before we were talking about they're full of pus, so at least they're still sort of soft. Here we have, they're, first of all, they're even bigger than the previous ones, than the candy ones, but second of all, they also became hard. So then also, they didn't say anything implying that's kosher. Rashi explains the difference. He says, you can find such things, Rashi says, on animals in our times also in the law. The difference is, Rashi says, that they look different than the color of the lung itself. They look like they're full of pus, and therefore they look whitish. As opposed to, we learned yesterday about otum berea. We learned about there can be an area in the lung that is closed up, where you inflate the lung, and it won't inflate. There it looks like the color of the lung, but there's something wrong over there where it won't inflate together with the rest of the lung, and therefore we have to be concerned that there's something wrong over here. Here we're talking about these abscesses or blisters or whatever you want to call it, They look different than the lung. They look like they're full of pus, and therefore we're saying in the Gemara over here that there's no problem with that, and the animal would be kosher. The animal might not be the healthiest, quite possible that nowadays, USDA inspectors might well declare the animal no good. But in terms of treifus, it's not a problem. So again, according to Rashi, the vote would be that the Gemara is talking about the different sizes. Simchi are small ones, candy would be even larger, and tinnery was saying over here would be even larger, and they're already hard. They're already showing them who learned that there's also a difference between what they contain. Simchi would be full of clear liquid, or they talk about also it might be something of the consistency of honey. Candy would be full of air, and tinnery would be full of something hard. And then in addition, on top of all of that, you have what we learned before about boys, which are yet something else altogether. One difference is that boys, one difference is that the post can talk about is that all these things, simchi and candy and all that, may be from the actual body of the lung itself getting infected, as opposed to boys that we learned about previously, is in the membranes, in the pleura of the lung got infected. Onward. The Gemara says, Itmar. So now we have a discussion. So all of a sudden we've been talking about different abnormalities in the lung. Let's now talk about cases where you might conceivably have a hole in the lung. A hole in the lung, of course, as we've been talking all this time, would make the animal treifa, but let's talk about a case where we're not sure. Itmar, so we have a discussion. Machat shenimsis bereya. If you find a needle in the lung of a shechted animal. So now you don't know whether the needle was obviously there where the animal was alive, but the question is, did it make a hole in the lung or did it not? So in other words, you could say, in other words, you may have to inflate it and see whether and see whether the lung has a hole. And then you have different Rishonim talk about how you would test it in that case. You'd have to put it in warm water, like we said before, and see whether it bubbles. Is it enough to just inflate it and see if it holds air? Anyway, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Chanina Machshiri, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Chanina say that it's kosher because we have no sign of a hole. Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Reb Mani ba Patish, Reb Shimon ben Al-Yakim, Tarefi, but the other three Chachamim, Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Reb Mani ba Patish, and Reb Shimon ben Al-Yakim, all hold that the animal will be treifa. So the Gemara says, even though we have no evidence of a hole, so the Gemara says, Lema b'chokam yiflegi, would we have to say that the machloikas between the three Chachamim on each side is as follows, Demar Sover, the second set of Amiroyim would hold that something missing on the inside of an organ is considered a deficiency, as we talked about yesterday. When you have one of the basic types of treifas, it's called chasera, where something is missing. Does that mean only when something is missing on the surface, or does it mean even when something is missing deep inside? Now, in other words, we would take the view that if you have a needle inside there, over time it's going to cause the flesh, the tissue of the lung to deteriorate and to disappear. So eventually you're going to have an area in the lung over there where you have a hole. on the inside, even though the outside is perfectly intact. So now we would say the last three chachamim say that that would be a reason to make the animal treifa. Omar sava lo shmei chisod. And the other opinion would hold that it's only a problem only when you have a deficiency, something missing, a hole or whatever on the outside, and not on the inside where it's completely covered up on all sides by lung tissue. So would that be the machlokas? So the Gemara says lo, no. To kula amah chisodin b'fnim lo shmei chisodin. We can say all six amiroyim hold. That's something missing on the inside where it's not visible, where it's not visible from the outside. So we would say that lo shmei chisarin. In fact, it's not considered a deficiency. Now Rashi brings over here, there were two different gear stories over here, whether maybe the gear story was the other way around. Maybe it is shmei chisarin. But Rashi says it must be like that because we learned before. We had the case yesterday where the lung was liquefied, and we said that it was kosher because we weren't concerned about shmei chisorin on the inside. But also Rashi points out since we're finding it, we're going to talk about it soon. If you find it in one of the bronchi of the lung, that's one thing. But here you find it embedded in the flesh of the lung. It obviously caused something to be missing on the inside. And nevertheless, we're still saying that no, all six amiroyim would hold that as kosher. How you found the needle in the first place, by the way, the post can point out. Is that, let's say, you were feeling around the outside of the lung and you felt that there's a needle inside. So now you inflate the lung and you see whether it holds air or whether air leaks out or whatever. Another possibility might be that, you know, you inflated the lung like normal. You didn't know there was a problem. And then you cut open the lung and you found the needle over here. So now the question would be, fine, so you have three amiroyim on each side, but what's the machlokas? The machlokas would be as follows. Marsava simpona nokat vasoi, the one opinion holds, the three amiroyim will hold that it's kosher, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Chanina will hold. You know how this needle got in here. It must have come through the simpon. It must have come through one of the bronchi in the lung. So therefore, so it's not necessarily did it make a hole coming in. Obviously you find it embedded in the tissue of the lung, so it obviously made a hole at some point to get in there. But fine, if you have a hole in a bronchus of the lung, as long as that hole is covered up by the tissue of the lung, then it would be kosher for the reasons that we talked about before, because when you have it grows naturally that way, then it's fine. So therefore, you can say that it's fine, and not necessarily did anything on the outside of the lung get a hole in it. And we said before, all six amiroyim are going to say that unless there's a hole on the outside, there's not a problem. Well, Marsava, where's the three opinions that hold that straight? They say nekuvi nokavasoi. It's quite likely that the animal accidentally swallowed this needle, and then what happened is that it would have had to make a hole in something. It would have had to make a hole somewhere in the digestive system. That Rashi points out, after all, things don't usually go down the windpipe, so more likely then, it came down the esophagus. Fine, it didn't necessarily make a hole in the esophagus, but for example, it made a hole later on down in the digestive system, and then, in turn, it made another hole in the lung and came to be embedded in there. So these three amiroyim are concerned about that possibility, and therefore they say that, it's treif. One of the Mephoshim points out that the reason why to think that's more likely to happen in the intestines is because there you have very narrow space over there. So in other words, in the esophagus, it's wider. It's more likely that the needle got down there intact. But once it got someplace further down in the digestive system, you have much less space for it over there, especially in the intestines. And therefore, it's quite possible they would say that it made holes over there. And then on the other hand, they hold that it's unlikely that it came through the respiratory system, through the windpipe, and then directly into the lung, because things don't usually go down. Things don't usually go down the respiratory system. So you have three opinions on each side. So Rashi points out the halacha is like the three opinions that say that's kosher. First of all, we have in the two groups, we have Rabbi Yochanan in the first group, Rish Lakish in the second group. When we have machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, the halacha is almost always like Rabbi Yochanan. Besides that, also the Gemara goes on to mention further on talking about a lung. talking about a needle in the liver, where also we can argue that it got in there without making holes. So we see that we can attribute that such things might happen through something coming through the respiratory system rather than the digestive system and making holes, and therefore we can attribute it to that, and therefore we can say in this case that it's kosher. Rashi does point out this is only if we have the lung is intact. If the lung was cut up, then we have to be really concerned that there really was a hole over there, and we don't find it because it was cut up already. So therefore, as in fact we see later in the sugya, exactly that. Okay. The Gemara continues. So in that connection, it happened that they once found the needle in a cut up lung. So the previous case was they found it in the intact lung. And again, the idea could be that they felt the lung on the outside and they felt there was a foreign object in it, and then they cut it open and found this needle. Or it could be that they didn't think there was anything wrong and then they opened it up and all of a sudden they found the needle. Here we're talking about where they cut the lung into pieces and then they found the needle. I swore the Kamei Rabami, so they brought it to Rabami for a psak, Sovel Akshura, and he thought to say that it's kosher. For the same reason that we said before, because like the Amoraim who said that it may have come there through the respiratory system, it punctured something of the inside of the lung. Doesn't matter. We said before, chisaron mevfnim lo shmei chisaron. That's not considered something lacking. But esved Reb Yumi of the came Reb Zrika, but Reb Yumi or some say Reb Zrika questioned Reb Ami and said, how could you say that? The Mishnah had said hareishem nikvah shachasra. We said if the lung has a hole, or if there's something missing of it. Now, as we learned before, the Gemara assumes, my chasera, what does it mean it's missing something? Ilei means something missing on the outside, as in other words, the membranes, the pleura, have been punctured. Hainu nikva, well, that's the same thing as having a hole, and the Mishnah shouldn't distinguish them. Elalav bimifnim. Evidently, we're talking about where it's missing something on the inside, even though it's completely surrounded by lung tissue and membranes. Ushmamina chisorin mifnim shmei chisorin. So you see that something missing, even on the inside, is considered a chisorin. And again, you have this needle inside the lung is going to cause lung tissue around it to waste away and disappear. And the Mishnah seems to be implying that it would be treif in that case. So before when we had that kind of challenge, the Gemara had said that no, chasera means, for example, that's missing the proper number of unos or whatever. Or we said, actually, we had said in the Gemara before, when we brought up that question before, that no, the point of mentioning chasera was primarily according to Reb Shimon, who holds the cloud, that a hole in the lung is not even a problem, unless it reaches from the outside all the way to the symphonis, to the bronchi. So according to him, we have to mention chasera, meaning that there are cases where the hole doesn't even reach that far, and nevertheless it's shreifa. But here Reb Ami is not sure what to do. So now it's not that he's not sure because Rashi points out that it's not because because of the question itself, as we said before, that those words Elash Chaserah are going to be specifically appointed of Shimon. But the question would be, now that the lung was cut up, can we assume that in fact there was no hole there to begin with? Or should we have to assume because it was cut up, it was quite likely that there was a hole there and we just missed it because, you know, you cut the lung and there happened to be a hole there. So Reb Ami at this point is not sure what to do. So they went and sent the Shaila to Reb Yitzchok Napcha. Now, if Reb Ami had said outright that it's treif, then as we learned previously, you can't ask another Rav whether it's kosher. But here, where Reb Ami himself wasn't sure, so they went to ask Reb Yitzchok Napcha. He also thought to say it's kosher. Eisvid Reb Yumi Yubi Temer Reb Zrika, and Reb Yumi, or some say Reb Zrika, asked him the same question, where again the Mishnah says Hareish and Nikvoy Chachosra, if the lung has a hole or if it's missing something, then it's treifa. My chosra, and he said, and Ran was saying, what does chosra mean? Ilem machot, meaning that something's missing on the outside. No, hainu mikva, that would effectively be the same thing as it having a hole. Elalav mufnim, it means that some of the tissue is missing on the inside. Or shmamin chisorin mufnim shmei chisorin, so you see that something missing on the inside, even though all the outside and the membranes are all intact, would still be treifa. So therefore, by the same token, you have a needle inside the lung, inevitably you have that tissue goes missing around it. So Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha also, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha then also didn't want to say that it's kosher on that basis. And again, you know, as Rashi is saying, as Tosfos also explains, not so much because of the question in and of itself, the wording of the Mishnah, you can reconcile in a different way, but because the fact is, given that we have over here, the lung was cut up, we really don't know whether there might have been a hole there. Well, so Chodesh Shadur, the Kamei de Rabami, so then they brought it back to Rabami, that he should say one way or the other. The Tarifa, this time he declared it Tref. Amrile, so they said to him, didn't we just have three Chachamim, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Chanina that said that it's kosher? And as we said before, the halacha is like them. Amar Lahen, so Rabbi Ami says, Hein hechshiru, sheyodim me'ezatam hechshiru. Look, you know what? They declared it kosher. They know what the reason is that they declared it kosher. Namely, because the lung was still intact. And therefore, we have less of a concern that it actually punctured the lung to come in. Fine, we'll check the lung. If we don't see any indication of a hole that's scabbed over, then we can start saying that maybe it came in through the respiratory system and came down through the bronchi and didn't puncture anything until it got to the inside of the lung, and that's not a problem because chisonim mufnim lo shema chisonim. And then, but says Rami, in our case, in the Eza Tam Nachshir, what reason should we say to declare it kosher? Do me have a rare kaman minkava. The fact is, if we have the intact lung in front of us, then it might well have had a hole, and therefore we should have to declare it treif. Then we should have to declare it treif because we don't have the ability to check the intact lung anymore. Rashi points out, but after all, the fact is, most of the time, you would assume when it comes in by having come in through the digestive system as is normal, and then it ends up somehow, and then it ends up in the lungs by having made holes. So now when we don't have the intact lung to check, then Rabbi Ami says we can't assume it came through the respiratory system. Okay, so the Gemara says, time into lesser. So you're telling me only Rav Ami is saying because the lung is no longer intact in front of us. But the implication is that had we had the intact lung in front of us, actually Tosfos points out that no, what it actually might be is that when we say that if we had the intact lung, we might have found a hole in it, maybe not that it would have come through the digestive system, but rather we could say, maybe fine, it came through the respiratory system, but nevertheless it still punctured the lung, and then it scabbed over and we don't see it. Now if we don't have the intact lung, we can't say that for sure. So that's the most of time of the lesser. So the implication is only because we don't have the intact lung anymore. But if we had the complete lung in front of us and there was no hole, ksheva, then we would say that it's kosher, as we said before, according to Rabbi Yochanan and company. The question is, well, Omer Rav Nachman, doesn't Rav Nachman tell us, though, that if the bronchi of the lung have a hole in them, ksheva, then the animal is ksheva? So what's the difference if it came in through the bronchi? The fact is, it's in the flesh and the tissue of the lung now. Obviously, to get there, it had to puncture a simpoin, a bronchus, and according to Rav Nachman, it should be treif anyway. The answer is ahula chaveri. Rav Nachman is talking about when there's a hole between one bronchus and the next one. In other words, you have the bronchi branch and branch again and branch again as you go throughout the lung. You start off with two big bronchi that come in, one to each lung from the windpipe, and then it divides into two, and each of those divides into more branches and so forth. So at each place where they branch, if you have right after they branch off, if you have a hole in one of them, and it's right next to the other one, then it's going to be treifa because now you don't have any lung tissue in between them to protect, to cover the hole. So therefore you're going to have a problem. But when you have along the length of one of those branches, when you have a hole, then the lung tissue that surrounds it will plug it up, and therefore it's not so bad, and therefore the animal is still kosher. So Rashi also adds, now, okay, so here you find the needle inside the intact lung. In the earlier case, why don't we say, well, but it might have, it fine, obviously, it obviously punctured one of the bronchi, maybe it did it right where it branches off, and therefore it would be like what Rav Nachman is saying, that it's a problem. Rashi says, no, one masakin and reyasa, we don't have to assume that there's something wrong over here. We don't assume a reyesa when we don't have a problem, when we don't have any evidence of it. We know there's a needle in the lung, but we don't have to assume that maybe it came through, punctured one of the bronchi in the place where we make it today. We can assume, granted, it punctured one of them, even if we're going to say it came through the respiratory system. It obviously punctured one of them, but we can assume it did it in a place where it wouldn't be a problem. So now, if we don't have the intact lung, then fine. The fact is, most things that are swallowed down the digestive system, and the only way then for it to end up in the lung would be by puncturing various internal organs, the lung itself, and the intestines or whatever. But here, where we have the intact lung, and the only question is, within the lung itself, did it puncture a bronchus in the place where it's going to be a problem or not? Then Rashi says we don't have to worry so much about that. Okay. So the Gemara says, but, so you're telling me that where one bronchus is next to the other, then they have a problem. Well, Amar Rav Nachman, but Rav Nachman himself says, further on in the perek, when we get to treifus of the digestive system, So we have again how a high. So Rav Nachman says, high hadura dekanta. You have the winding parts of the intestines. You have the area of the intestines where they kind of wind round another one round the other, and one of them is and one winding is right next to the other one. The fat that you have a layer of fat between them, which is called kanta. Hadura dekanta literally means the windings of the kanta. Anyway, the inki v'hadi chavre, said Rav Nachman says, if you have one of those windings has a hole, but then the hole is next to another one, megan alei, then the next one will protect it, so therefore it's not treifa. So by the same, and then the fat will also serve as an effective sealant. We're going to talk about that in the next couple of blah. If you see by the intestines that works, that where one segment of the intestine will protect another one where you have a hole, why don't we say the same thing over here about the bronchi? The answer is, you're trying to compare trefus to one another. There's a big difference. Many times in trefus, we do not say that one thing resembles another and say that just because in one case it's kosher, then in another seemingly similar case it's also kosher. We see when we have an animal, sometimes we can cut it in one place and it's a fatal defect, and it'll cause the animal to die, and then we can make a similar cut someplace else and it'll live. An example of that is in the legs. We're going to talk about in the next paragraph a lot about the tsomas agidim. There's an area on the lower leg of an animal where you have a bunch of tendons that come together, which are considered very essential to the animal's life, and therefore if their tsomas agidim are cut or damaged or whatever, we'll talk about the details over there, then the animal is treifa. But on the other hand, if the leg is cut above that point, then the animal is kosher. So you see that. So even though the tzemes hagidim are completely gone because that whole part of the leg is missing. So therefore, and then on the other hand, if it's cut in the area of the tzemes hagidim, then it would be treifa. So you see, in other words, says Rav Ashi, that you can't always draw analogies between one area of treifas and another. So therefore, by the same token, over here, you can say that there is, in fact, a difference between the bronchi of the lungs and the windings of the intestines. And the reason, the Rosh explains, the difference is because the intestines are soft, so therefore it's a good effective sealant. If you have the fat between them, it would also be a good sealant, but even without that fat, just one layer can protect another, as opposed to the bronchi are stiff, and therefore one of them is not going to plug up a hole in the other. The Gemara continues, more cases of needles that were found inside the body. One time they found a needle in the large bronchus of the lung. So here it wasn't even in the tissue of the lung, here it was just inside the bronchus itself. So they brought it to the three chachamim who held before in the case where it was in the tissue of the lung itself, that in the spongy tissue, that it was treifa. Here they had found it in the bronchus. They wanted to see what they would say. But in this case, They didn't say that's osur. They didn't say that's mutter. Heter like amru b'kishma atayu. They didn't say that's mutter because they said before that if you find a needle on the lung, they say, never mind that it likely came through the respiratory system. It probably came through the digestive system and made holes on the way. So therefore, so they're concerned about that. And here you find it in the bronchus instead of in the spongy tissue, but it doesn't really matter. They say. So therefore, we can't outright say that it is kosher. So we do have to be concerned. Isu nami la'amri, but on the other hand, they didn't want to say flat out, but it's also given this pointer, rabba ishtakach. The fact is, you do find it over here in the bronchus, so maybe you do have it, maybe it is possible, amos component, knock it fast, sorry, then here it may well have come through the bronchus. It may be it came down the windpipe, even though that's not usual. So therefore they weren't sure about it. We could again say you inflate the lung over here and see that there's no hole in it. So therefore there's no reisa, and therefore maybe there's no concern that it came in through the outside. It's more likely that it came in through the bronchus, but they didn't want to say for sure. Therefore they couldn't say for sure whether it's osur or mutter. Rabbi Yochanan and company would definitely say that it's mutter because they said even if it was in the actual tissue of the lung, it would be mutter. Another case, the Gemara says, also involving needles. They found the needle in a cut up piece of the liver. So Ma'abrei de Rabbi Yosef thought to declare it safe because again, it made a hole someplace on the way over there. But Ravashi says to him, and if you found this just someplace in the muscles of the animal, would you declare it treif? No, because the muscles, if they have a hole, are not treif. Well, then, if the liver has a hole in it, it's not one of the treifers. We never said that a hole in the liver creates a problem, so why should there be an issue? So Ravashi says, though, we do have to look at how exactly we found this needle, in what position did we find this needle in the liver. If we find that the blunt end of the needle with the hole in it is found sticking outside, and then the needle, the point of the needle, is stuck into the liver, nakuri nakivasoi, then we have to say, how did it get there? It made a hole in the digestive system. Because you can't have, in other words, if the blunt end is sticking out of the liver, it can't be that it first came into the liver and then came out of there, because how would the blunt end be able to come out? So obviously it must have gotten there by way of making holes on the way, therefore it would be treif. But on the other hand, Ravashi says, if the blunt end is on the inside, is inside the liver, and then the point is sticking outward, simpoina noked vasoi, then the likelihood is that it came down through the respiratory system. Meaning, in other words, what must have happened is, the animal breathed it in and it got through the lung and then it wound up from the lung and wound up in the liver. Now the obvious is therefore it would be kosher. Now the obvious question is, if it had to go through the lung, wouldn't it have to puncture the lung in order to get out of it and go to the liver? And then it would be treif anyway. So what's the difference whether it's like that? So the sefer Sichas Cholin brings in some detail like that. What happens is basically that inside the lung itself, you have blood vessels that bring blood that bring blood from there to the heart. So now what you can have is it was breathed in by accident. The animal breathed in this needle. Now it went into the lung. Fine. It punctured one of the bronchi of the lung. We said that's not a problem as long as it punctured it in a place where you have the spongy tissue of the lung that protects it. Then from there we can say it made a hole in one of the blood vessels of the lung. That also doesn't declare it, that or the, in the, in the, um, and the pulmonary vein that brings blood from there to the heart. Fine, that also wouldn't make it tefa. So then it could go into the heart, and then from there it's in the circulatory system, and now it's able to go from there to the liver. To get to the liver, it would have to go through the vein, the vena cava, and there you have it. It would have to be swimming, it would have to be going opposite the current. But basically the point is the current there is very weak, because there it's bringing blood from the bottom half of the animal, so therefore the current of blood there is very weak, and therefore the needle could conceivably push against it and end up in the liver. It ends up puncturing into the liver, but now with its sharp end, but now you have the blunt end is sticking outward. And all you have then, in other words, is the holes that it made would have been inside the lung, first in one of the bronchi, and then in the pulmonary vein or pulmonary artery or whatever. But that's not a problem, because we never saw that those things cause any tinnitus. So therefore, sort of actually says, in that case, we could assume the animal is kosher. There is within that, there's machlokas we're showing him. Are we talking about what happens? Are we talking about that the point of the needle is actually sticking out of the liver? Isn't there a concern that maybe it punctured some other nearby organs? Or do we say that not? Rishonim bring up a point, maybe for the Rashba brings up a point, that maybe, for example, if you have a thorn there, which like pushed its way in forcefully from the outside, then who knows what it punctured on the way. But here we're talking about this needle came in here very gently, like we're saying, gradually through the circulatory system, so therefore not necessarily even if the point of it is sticking out of the liver, not necessarily is it going to puncture anything nearby. On the other hand, the Ran brings an opinion that no, we do have to be concerned in that case, and the case where we would say over here where it's mutter would be where the entire needle is inside the liver, but just we're talking about which way is it facing. Is it facing towards the vena cava or the portal vein or whichever blood vessels in the liver over there, or is it facing away from them? But in either way, we would be talking about that it's completely surrounded by liver tissue. Okay, the Gemara finishes also. Now, this whole thing applies only if the needle is a largish one. And therefore, so in other words, the blunt end of it is very blunt, and there's no way that it would be able to make a hole through. But if you're talking about a smaller needle, like the needles that we're familiar with, even the blunt end is fairly sharp. Then it wouldn't matter whether the blunt end is towards the inside or the outside. The likelihood is that it made a hole through the intestines or whatever in order to get to the liver, and therefore the animal would be tefa. Because these are the kinds of needles that we're familiar with, even the blunt end is sharp enough to be able to make holes. The Rashba brings a different girsa from brings that a different girsa would be. It doesn't matter simpon and nokat v'asoi, either way that we can say it came through the simpon and the animal would actually be mutter. Because then we have no evidence that it came from the outside. So according to the gears that we have in front of us, we would say either way, with a small needle, it would be kosher. According to that gears that the Rashba brings, we would say that either way, whichever way the needle is facing, we could actually say it's kosher. Well, the Gemara asks one more detail, though. What about, though, how is this any different than the case where you find the needle in the thickness of the wall of the Beis HaKosis? We talk about in the Mishnah, we're going to talk about later on. In our perek, the Beis HaKosis is the second stomach of the animal. In English, it's called the reticulum. It has a double wall. If you find a needle embedded in the wall of the Beis HaKosis, in other words, the animal swallowed its food together with a needle. They call it hardware disease. It's apparently a somewhat common thing. Kosher animals gobble up a lot of hay or grass or whatever, and there may be needles or other foreign objects in there, and they swallow them without realizing. So it could easily end up embedded in the wall of the Beis HaKosis. If the hole is only on one side, kshera, then it's still kosher, meaning, in other words, again, it has a double wall, so if the needle is only going through the inner wall of the Beis HaKosis and not the outer wall, kshera, then the animal is still kosher. And that would mean, in other words, even so you have the needle sticking through, you have this Beis HaKosis, you have it, the inner layer of it is made up like a bunch of cups, a bunch of depressions, which is why it's called Beis HaKosis, which literally means the place of the cups. So you could have, for example, the needle could go through one side of one of those cups and come out the other, but it's still not puncturing through the base acosis from it to the outside. It's all within the base acosis itself. So then it would be ksheira because the other wall, the outer wall protects it. Mishnei tzedin, but if it goes through both sides, the inner and the outer layer, treifa, then it would be treifa. The loya min lechi koifel avari koifel agav. There we don't distinguish which direction the point of the needle is facing. So why not? So the answer is amri. So the answer hosam given the ikka oichel mashkin because you have the animal eats foods and drinks. Ema oichel mashkin dachkua. So it's highly likely that what it ate and what it drank wound up, so it could be. In other words, had it not been the animal afterwards ate, then this needle might have remained free floating in the base acosis over there, and only because then it was stuffed full of food and drink, then therefore that pushed the needle. And now, therefore, the blunt end or the sharp end, as the case may be, wound up stuck into the wall of it. But when it comes to the liver, you don't have anything pushing against it. So therefore, the blunt end would not be able to make a hole, and therefore we can distinguish between whether the blunt end or the sharp end was located toward the inside of the liver or not. Okay. One more case about needles. The Gemara says, "Ahum machta." There was a needle. The ishkach b'simpona rabba de kavda. There was a needle that they found in the great blood vessel of the liver. So it would be the vena cava. Although another possibility is it's a portal vein. The vena cava basically brings blood from the lower half of the body back to the heart. The portal vein is what connects the heart itself to the liver. In any case, so they found a needle in there. So the Gemara says, Hunamar braided of Idi Torif. Hunamar, the son of Rav Idi, declared it Trefa, because again, how did it get over there? It got in through the digestive system, and then it made holes and wound up in this blood vessel of the liver. Rav Adar Baman Yumi Machshir, but Rav Adar Baman Yumi declared it kosher. Because as we said, it may have gone in through the circulatory system. Also, Shailu al Ravina, so they went and asked Ravina what the din would be. Amalu shkula glimmer the treif, shkilu glimmer the treifai, take away the garment from the one who declared it treif. Because what he actually did was, when he declared it treif, he didn't just declare it treif, he actually took the animal and threw it to the dogs. So that's considered, in other words, that now he directly caused a hezek to the owner, and therefore he should have to pay, and you have to take his garment as security. In that case. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin about cases where a dayan makes a mistake in halacha. In certain cases, he has to pay. In certain cases, we reverse the judgment. But over here, we're talking about that. The Mephoshim talk about, are we talking about that Hunamar himself gave it to the dogs, or are we saying just that he declared it treifa and other people did it, in any case, the point is that so it's considered just one possibility. It's called Toria B'Dvar Mishnah. He made a mistake in a clear, blatant halacha, and therefore we should make him have to pay. Because again, like we said, it's equally highly likely, given that you found it in a blood vessel, that it actually came in through the circulatory system, again having come in by way of the lung, and therefore it wouldn't be treifa, and therefore he shouldn't have declared it treifa. You know what I'm saying? Okay.